Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Now, quick, look at your computer screen. Does that look like Brad Sessmatt to you? Well, of course it isn't. It's Jeff Munn for Brad Sessmatt on a Wednesday. Good morning and welcome to our regular installment of the Brad Sessmatt Show, which you can catch live on sports360az.com. Well, if you can catch it live, of course, you're catching it live now. And azcentralsports.com. On a Wednesday, we're glad to have you along. We got a lot to get to. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, will be with us a little bit later on to talk about a few items involving the D-backs, but a couple other things that I think we'll get into: the Bryce Harper, Hunter Strickland penalties as they were announced yesterday. And I'll ask Pedro about something I discussed yesterday on the show about ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball package. Now, I'm not so much from the rating standpoint, although if you saw the show yesterday, I had quite a few things to say about it, but more from the baseball side of it. Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame broadcaster for your Phoenix Suns, will be with us to preview the NBA Finals, and we'll talk a little bit about where things stand with the Suns as they begin their workouts of potential players to take with the fourth pick in the first round of the NBA draft. We'll also have some thoughts about other items as we move along through the day. We are joined, as always, by the esteemed producer of this program on the ECAM, Eric Sorensen. I forgot about the ECAM, the nickname, yesterday when I did the show. I was too busy zoning in on Paula Bovin's new nickname, the professor. But the ECAM, is the ECAM operating? Let's look up.
Oh, yeah, the ECAM is always operating.
See, there it is. The ECAM is operating. How are you, sir?
I'm well. And the dead giveaway that you are not Brad Sessmatt is you have hair.
Oh, my. By the way, have you noticed? I made a conscious decision a couple of months ago to kind of let this grow out a little bit.
I made a conscious decision. Were you staring into the mirror one morning getting ready?
Not more than one morning.
The decision
cowboy
was made?
Every time.
Did you talk to yourself like, self, I think it's about time I grow my hair out. Look good.
I've had the same wonderful lady who happens to be the godmother of my children cut my hair for 30 plus years. And I always just leave it in her hands to decide what it's supposed to look like, the length, all that stuff. It's her project. But I finally decided, you know, I'm at an age where, let's be honest, it's getting a little thin up here. The size of my forehead is about the size of a football field now. And I just kind of thought I'd like to let it just grow out a little bit. Not to the point where I'm trying to not act my age. But I don't like the way I look when it's that short.
You know, you're doing the reverse of what most people do. In the summer, like myself, I get my hair cut very short because it's hot.
Yeah, I understand.
And you are letting it grow out. Usually that's something that's done in the winter, not in the summer when it's 700 degrees here in Phoenix.
I'm a native. I've lived here all my life.
As am I, your point.
Well, that's true. And I'm used to, I don't take that into account.
Yeah,
when I'm making
it doesn't matter. When you've like us, Mon, when you've lived here your whole life, the heat is just the heat. Is there really a big difference between 112 and 105,
right,
really,
and
honestly?
People get surprised when I walk around in the summer in long sleeve shirts, and I tell them, look at me. I can't, you know.
Indeed.
Not good for me to get a lot of sun on this. I've already had a melanoma here that I had to have taken off.
We
I don't want to do it anymore.
We call that safety first.
That's right.
But anyway,
We digress because we need to get into the news of the day. And the news of the day here locally was the outstanding effort last night by Robbie Ray in pitching the Diamondbacks to a 3-0 victory over the Pirates at PNC Park. His road numbers actually are far exceeding his home numbers at the moment. Complete game four-hitter, 10 strikeouts, no walks, and I know I'm going to get this in, 2 hours and 10 minutes. I know somebody would really have been thrilled to have been involved in a 2-hour and 10-minute baseball game, but I digress. Here's the thing on Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray, from the day the D-backs acquired him in a three-way trade between the Tigers, Yankees, and Diamondbacks, I was ecstatic about this deal because here's the thing about Robbie Ray. Drafted by the Nationals in 2010, they traded him in December of 2013 for Doug Fister. He was part of a package of players that went to the Tigers for Doug Fister. And the quotes that were coming out of Washington from the GM, Mike Rizzo, who, of course, was a scouting director here at one time, he admitted, he said, this is painful. You know, we needed Fister to bolster our rotation. They were coming off a postseason appearance. And he said, I hated to do it because, you know, they had Ian Kroll, Steve Lombardozzi went in that deal as well. But he said, boy, the one that really hurt was trading Robbie Ray because we know this guy's going to be special. A year later, the Tigers, and I believe Dave Dombrowski was still in the front office, he was, with Detroit at the time, when they made the three-team trade, the Tigers got, let me see it correctly, Shane Green from the Yankees. The D-backs sent Didi Gregorius to New York. Didi's had a nice year at the plate so far this year. And the Diamondbacks ended up with with Robbie Ray and Domingo Leyba. Same thing. When that deal was made, Dombrowski went to the Detroit media and said, the really painful part of this was trading Robbie Ray because we know he's going to be something. And, you know, he's had his ups and downs in his tenure with the Diamondbacks, but I think it's easy to say now. I think you can see what's going on here. And essentially, this is the Robbie Ray I think a lot of people had hoped that that they were going to get when the Diamondbacks acquired him from the Tigers. First year, he goes 5-12. ERA, let me find it here, 3.52. 8-15 last year with a 4.9. He's 5-3 right now with a 3 earned run average. And I think there are a whole lot of things that are really good about Robbie Ray, and I know we've got other things to get to, and I'll get to them. But here's the thing, the most important thing about what Robbie Ray is doing right now. It's taken a lot of heat off Patrick Corbin. Corbin, of course, was slotted in as the number two starter in Torey Lovullo's rotation at the beginning of the year because Lovullo very much wanted to go right, left with his five starters. Ray was in the fourth spot. Corbin has struggled, had another rough outing Saturday in Milwaukee. Clearly, this is a guy who has not recaptured the form he had prior to Tommy John surgery. You just hope against hope because he's such a good guy that he does find it. But if he can't, it would not surprise me coming out of the All-Star break if Lovullo went Greinke 1, Ray 2 for the remainder of the season. Taiwan Walker, we're told, through a simulated game yesterday in Pittsburgh, everything went well, should come off the DL. He's eligible to come off now, and he might make a start in Miami over the weekend against the Marlins. Look, we didn't talk a lot about the D-backs yesterday, but the bottom line for me as it relates to the D-backs is this. They can hit. Nobody disputes the fact they can hit. If they get a decent amount of starting pitching. And early in the year, they weren't. They were getting five innings, 5 1/3, and having to use the bullpen a lot. If they can get some heat off that bullpen, they're going to stay in this race. If they have to use the bullpen a lot, they're not. And it's very simplistic to say that. But look, you've got, and again, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but look at the National League West. Colorado's got Greg Holland. The Giants have Mark Melancon, and I know the Giants are 9 games below 500. Actually, they're 10 below after the loss last night. But there's still something, even with the Bumgarner injury, there's something that just tells me these guys are going to make a run at some point. They've got Melancon, the Dodgers, who moved into first place last night, by the way, of Kenley Jansen. And the D-backs are trying to get it done with 40-year-old Fernando Rodney. I know he hasn't given up an earned run in May, but his ERA is still 7, okay? So the bullpen is going to be a big key, and the key to keeping the bullpen effective is limit their innings, get more length out of the starters, which they have. Tiger Woods, you knew this was coming. The tabloid papers in New York have had a field day with the mugshot of Tiger Woods. Nothing really new news-wise to report. I think everything now kind of points toward it was prescription medication and an odd reaction to it. That led to Tiger Woods basically being asleep in his vehicle. But check out, if you will, you knew that was coming, the New York Post, DUI of the Tiger. The interesting thing is the Daily News, didn't they have exactly
they
the same?
They had the exact same one.
Yeah.
And but, I'm a sucker, Mon. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a sucker for a great headline. So when I saw this last night on Twitter, I thought, oh, we have to at least
the Post
we have to at least show
it.
This.
The Post is great for it. Listen, I'll give you a quick, and I'm not on the payroll at the Post, but if you're a sports fan and you want to just read up on what's going on with New York teams, the Post might be the best newspaper in the country. While newspapers across the country are laying off writers every which way but loose, and John Clayton today got laid off by ESPN, the Post has like five guys that cover the New York baseball teams. Five of them. Three of them do columns. I don't know how they're able to afford it. But it's a great read. I love reading the Post online.
And I'm sure they have people that just write headlines, right? That
right.
just do headlines?
That's
that
their
probably
job.
Make $200,000 a year just to come up with creative headlines like DUI of the Tiger?
Right.
I need that job. I could do that.
Oh, you'd love that job. You'd love that job. By the way, the Post never charges a dime to read the paper online. Not a dime.
Oh, boy.
So guess what? Yeah, I do. I read the Post a lot. When they say best sports coverage in town, they're not kidding, kids. It's phenomenal. But that's the Tiger Woods covers.
And then Twitter had some fun at Tiger's expense because that's those. You knew
boom,
this was coming.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it looks coming. A lot lighter in that picture than it would be at 2:30 in the morning when he's pulled over.
Well,
right?
Here's and again, this is the point I'm going to, and I mentioned this yesterday. Thank goodness nobody else was involved and nobody was hurt. B, DUI still applies here. I think a lot of people are trying to say, oh, drunk driving. No, the charge is DUI. So this is, you know, he still has to explain away what was going on, and he still faces charges. So this is just the start of a long journey, yet another one, for Tiger Woods. Pedro Gomez is up next. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk about Robbie Ray. We'll talk about the penalties handed out to Hunter Strickland and Bryce Harper. We'll talk a little bit about the Sunday night baseball and what's wrong with the Cubs. That's all coming up next on the Brad Sesmatch Show, Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. Back on a Wednesday, the Brad Sesmatch Show, Jeff Munn for Brad. We hope to hook up with Pedro Gomez of ESPN here in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, the news concerning, we mentioned this, Hunter Strickland and Bryce Harper involved in that melee on Monday in San Francisco. Harper was suspended 4 games, Strickland 6. There's been a lot of reaction to it, most of it very critical of Joe Torre in Major League Baseball. In terms of, and it depends on where you are. In Washington, D.C., they're upset over the fact that Strickland, being a relief pitcher, if he's suspended for 6 games, that's probably 3 appearances total. Harper has to sit out 4. Now, both players are appealing their suspensions, so it's likely to get knocked down a little bit. Look, I said this yesterday, and I read Dan Bickley's column in on AZ Central today, and he thinks, first of all, that punishing Bryce Harper for charging the mound is inappropriate. I don't agree with that because for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't think you're ever going to legislate out a guy throwing at a hitter. Okay? You're never going to stop that. Secondly, I understand what Dan said in his column about Randy Johnson hit Mark Grace in the back once with a pitch, and he had health problems for several days afterwards. I get it. Okay, I'm not trying to downplay this, but the bottom line is pitchers know how to send messages and do it with as minimal a damage as possible. It's part of the game. Harper was wrong for charging the mound, and he should have gotten the stiffer sentence in my mind. Bullum should have been punished. Pedro Gomez does join us now, and it's a big week for the Gomez family as the U of A heads down to Lubbock for the regional. Down up to Lubbock. Lubbock's north of Tucson. Are you going to get a chance to go to Lubbock, Pedro?
My wife and I already have our flights. We leave Friday morning.
Outstanding.
They play Friday night. Yeah, they play Friday night at 6 o'clock Texas time.
That's a pretty ballpark there. That's a pretty ballpark there.
I have never been. I've never been to the ballpark.
There's a really good. I'll have to find the name of the little sandwich joint across the street from the campus. That I'll find it and recommend it to you. And I had a chance to meet your lovely bride at the Saturday ASU U of A game. And moms are always way more nervous than dads, aren't they?
I don't know. In this family, it might be the opposite.
Okay.
I think because I understand the game so well.
Yeah, that's a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it was a treat to meet your wife, and that was a lot of fun and an all too brief chance to visit a couple of weeks ago. Let's touch on Robbie Ray for just a second. I was mentioning in the opening segment, in two instances, two different major league teams really were wincing at the thought of trading Robbie Ray. When the Nationals traded him to Detroit for Doug Fister, and when the Tigers traded him here in the three-way deal where they ended up with Shane Green from the Yankees. And so that tells me right away, if two different organizations are really in a lot of pain over trading a pitcher, that tells you he's got a lot of potential, and I think we're starting to see it.
Yeah, it's taken a little bit of time, but sometimes it does take time with pitchers. And Robbie Ray, listen, I was one of those people that thought, okay, here's a left-handed pitcher who throws in the 90s, and two different organizations have already dealt him before his 25th birthday. That's kind of revealing. And I thought of it not in a good way. I thought, I don't know. But boy, it just goes to show that, people mature at their own rate in terms of major league ability. And Robbie Ray right now is one of those guys that a lot of clubs are calling the Diamondbacks saying, hey, are you interested in a deal? And Mike Kazin is saying, absolutely not for Robbie Ray.
No.
We're keeping him. I mean, first of all, he's under a very – he doesn't have major league service time, so he doesn't cost a lot.
Right.
And he's a quality lefty.
Well, let me and I know that this is a subject that has been discussed a great deal in all kinds of places locally. The D-backs are, even though they're in third place, but it's let's speak in relative terms, and they're still 10 games above 500. If the season ended today, they're the second wild card. Okay, on and on and on. But as they get closer to the deadline, you and I both know that the Diamondbacks have an owner who really wants to win right now, and he said, oh, I'll be patient, but a lot of times that I'll be patient turns into I'm impatient by July 31st. The problem for Mike Hazen, as I see it, Pedro, he doesn't have anything to offer. He can't offer prospects. They don't have that many, and if he does give what prospects he has, he has set that organization back a couple of years again to take a run at what essentially will be a wild card spot. Am I right?
Absolutely. And I think, if anything, it might work in reverse where, okay, yeah, they're in it kind of, but boy, if they get an offer that they just cannot turn down, you might see them pull the trigger on something else. Maybe a Zach Greinke. I don't think you'll see Robbie Ray go because he is under player control,
right,
under club control for so many more years at what is really an inexpensive rate. So I don't think you'll see anybody like that go, but I think that if they do get a call and if somebody is willing to take on, a good chunk of Greinke's contract, I would not be surprised. And in talking to some people from some other front offices, they would not be surprised if Mike Hazen were to listen to that kind of call. Now, of course, Ken Kendrick would have to make the final call because, the owner of the D-backs, because the D-backs would probably still be on the hook for some of that money, if not, half or who knows how much. So Kendrick would have to be in on it. But, they put themselves in a good position. And let's face it, we live here in the Valley. We know that for the last 5 years or so, 4 years, the season's pretty much been over by the time that, the calendar flips to May.
Right.
So the fact that Torey Lovullo has them playing so well and we're in June tomorrow, that's a really positive step forward for this organization.
Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, joins us. I got a couple other things I want to get to real quick. You mentioned the Cubs, and I hate to hold you to 30 seconds on this, but Theo Epstein's got to be, as bad as they're hitting right now, I think the hitting will come around. He's got to get a starting pitcher, and his track record is, I don't wait till the deadline. If I need a pitcher
That's
in
true.
June, I go get Aroldis Chapman. If I can trade to get Addison Russell, I do it on the 4th of July. I think Theo's got to do something pretty quick.
Look, right now he's being patient because he thinks that the offense will come around. And when you look at that lineup, it probably will. But you're looking at some guys in the rotation that, John Lester, John Lackey, that are a little bit older. Kyle Hendricks, for as much of a great season as he had last year winning the ERA title, he's struggled so far this year. And they have not been able to put it together in terms of the rotation right now. Arrieta is not pitching as consistently as he has the last two seasons. And I would agree with you that Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, that group, when they can make a move, they will. They don't wait until July 31st.
Yeah,
they do it whenever. And they've got a lot of prospects, by the way, that they can trade.
Exactly. I mean, I know they don't want to let go of that talented shortstop, Eloy Jimenez, but they may have to make a deal happen. A couple other things. The Strickland Harper penalties. A lot of people in baseball saying Joe Torre got it wrong. Do you agree with them?
I agree with the people because when you consider that Strickland is out for six games, and in that he might throw, let's say, three innings. And then you've got Bryce Harper, who is going to miss four games, and that's 36 innings.
Right.
So I don't think that you're – and I'm not saying it has to be inning for inning, but you're losing out on arguably the best player in the National League for 36 full innings, and the Giants are losing out on a middle reliever for about three innings. So, no, it's not that it's even, and let's face it, you know, Hunter Strickland is the one that started the entire thing. Now, you throw a helmet, you throw a punch, you're going to be suspended.
Right.
But in terms of what's right and what's not, I think the Nationals are on the short end of the stick here.
I brought this up yesterday, Pedro, and I don't want to put you on the spot because you do work for ESPN, but I've had, because of work responsibilities, I've had paid close attention to the Sunday night games the last several weeks, and I want to get a thought from you, if you have one, about how baseball views the Sunday night package from the standpoint of it does on occasion put teams at a disadvantage in terms of travel, in terms of, you know, we've got to be somewhere else the next day. And I know teams do that during the week, but I see it happen more often. The other thing is I've noticed the last couple of weeks they've gone to this little gimmick of putting the announcers out in the outfield, and I'm thinking to myself, are the numbers that bad that they have to do this? I don't want to get onto that, but just tell me what you hear from baseball as an industry about are they comfortable with the Sunday night package?
Well, they are because it still does get eyes, and it is the only game on a Sunday night. So in that sense, you know, and that's how it was sold to Major League Baseball. Like, this is going to be our marquee event of the week. It's the only game taking place at that time slot on that weekend day. So, you know, in that sense, MLB signed off on it, and you know, they if the clubs have an issue, I know that ESPN gets blamed, but Major League Baseball agreed to this. So, you know, they might be looking at the wrong person to blame. You know, talk to Major League Baseball. But I do know in talking to players that if they do have to be somewhere for a Monday game, especially if it's a few time zones away, they're not happy with it. They're not happy with it at all. I would agree with you there.
Are there options that baseball can kind of adjust scheduling, you know, maybe give the Sunday night teams, just build in the day off on Monday? Has that been discussed?
You know, I'm not positive if it has, but it's tough when you're playing 162 games over the course of 180, I think it's now 182 days.
Right.
They added 2 days this year, I think. It used to be 180 days. But you're playing 162 over 182, and it makes it really difficult to build that in for two clubs, especially the next day. So I don't know how realistic that is. You know, I could see down the road maybe them saying, okay, instead of six possible Sunday assignments, which is the maximum that a club can be on, let's make it four. Something like that. That can certainly, you know, maybe that's a way to go. But it's not going to go away. I mean, it's built into the contract, and I think we have either 6 or 7 years left on this deal.
Well, I'll tell you,
Major League Baseball.
I'll tell you what, and I will put you on the spot about this because I know you'll agree with me. There's a whole stable of great play-by-play guys that do the ESPN games, Major League Baseball. I could listen to Dan Shulman read the phone book. He is.
Know, that's whether it's college basketball or Major League Baseball. He is,
it ain't even close.
He is outstanding.
It ain't even close. And I like Joe Buck. I've read his book. I thought it was really interesting. I don't understand why people get so upset with him. But I'm telling you, he's kind of in a distant second place behind Shulman. If there's a big game, I miss Shulman on Sunday nights on radio with Dave Campbell.
Oh God, I remember those days. Absolutely. Yeah, Dan is so phenomenal at his job, and it's you know, and he's such a great guy, by the way.
Yes, he is. I know
Toronto,
that for myself.
In Toronto, and yeah, he coaches his son's little league baseball team up there when time permits him, and loves the game and is always talking to the pro about, hey, I have this situation, like, you know, just things that he can glean from them that he can use with his son's little league team. So he's way into the game, into the game.
Yeah, and he does do the postseason of the World Series on radio, so it's not like we don't get to...
And then
to,
he does college basketball.
Yeah, like a week afterwards, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck to your son this weekend down in Lubbock, and safe travels for you and your wife, and enjoy the weekend. Appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Take care.
Same here. Pedro Gomez... And I did have a chance to meet Pedro's wife last a couple of weeks ago when the U of A played ASU. Great lady, and I'm so happy for both of them that they're enjoying this ride with their son. And the U of A goes into Lubbock. They play Sam Houston State Friday. The other half of that regional is Texas Tech against Delaware. So at some point, Arizona's probably going to play Texas Tech either in a winner's bracket or an elimination game. So that'll be a lot of fun. And Lubbock is. It's a great college town. They have a great sandwich joint across the street. It's not TCU, I know, but it's still pretty good.
TCU plays on grass.
Okay, and Texas Tech doesn't?
They do not. They play on, they have a field turf for baseball, which I think is just as un-American un-American can get.
But. That's weak. All right, well, a few thoughts on my mind, and we'll discuss them in detail coming up in our next segment. Later on, Al McCoy previews the NBA Finals and the Suns and the draft. It's all coming up on the Brad Sesmatch Show, sports360az.com, azcentralsports.com. On a Wednesday, the Brad Sesmatch Show, Jeff Munn for Brad. I don't get to host this show very often because the guy the show's named for is usually here. So I have a stack of little notes I wanted to get to in this segment, and just a few things that were on my mind. Number one, I've got a friend that I went to – well, I'm not going to say I went to school with her, but we were in a class together at Arizona State almost 30 years ago. The class was called Psychology of Coaching, and it was taught by the legendary baseball coach Dr. James Lee Brock. And he had a number of students that you names you might know. And I was in that class, and he had a great time making fun of me every day in that class. It was, you know, but everybody knows how big a figure Jim Brock was in my life. So it was fun for me, too, to come in and have the teacher notice I was in the room. But one of the other students was a young lady named Missy Farr. And you kind of knew then, and she was a golfer at Arizona State, that she was going to be something special. And I'm not just talking about as a golfer. Missy Farr has been through more in her life than hopefully any of us have to go through. She, by herself, just on her own, in her own situation, breast cancer survivor. I'm sure many of you know that she has a sister that did not survive breast cancer. There's a statue of her sister at Carson Golf Course over at the Rio Salado and Rural Road. So she's been through an awful lot. She's a mom, has teenage sons, and there's responsibilities all by itself, raising young men. After playing days were over, she became an assistant coach to Linda Volstead at Arizona State. ASU won a national championship. In fact, won several. Missy won one as a player, then won a couple as an assistant coach. And last Wednesday in Sugar Grove, Illinois, Missy Farr K became a national champion as a head coach. And I just want to take a moment to congratulate Missy and everybody with that program, but especially Missy for everything that she's been through. And I know that Heather, Coach Brock, a lot of people that are no longer with us that we're very close to, she and I, are looking down at Missy and smiling at the thought that she's continuing to plug away at it and continues to win in a whole lot of different ways. All right. I wanted to get this thought out, too. We mentioned this very briefly in the opening segment. ESPN announced today, I don't know if they announced it, but John Clayton is leaving ESPN, and it is, I guess, part of the layoffs. It was delayed in an announcement, and I don't know why, but John Clayton is leaving ESPN. It's been a rough time for the worldwide leader in sports. But every time somebody says to me, such and such is dying, I laugh. Newspapers are not dying. They're transitioning. I mean, look at this website, sports360az.com. You get stories, articles. Some guy writes a column once in a while. AZ Central Sports. Okay, you're going to your computer to get stuff now. It doesn't mean that the industry is dying off. There are still great writers. We talked yesterday about losing Frank DeFord. There are still great writers everywhere. I mean, how many times have they written the obituary for radio? And it's not dead. And I've mentioned that before in columns and on this show. It evolves. Technology evolves. It does not die off. AM radio is supposed to be gone. AM radio is still very much on the air. But you can't find an AM radio station that plays music like it did 40 years ago. It does talk shows. And so I don't get, you know, the ESPN that I grew up with, that I knew in my 20s or 30s. You know, the 1115 Sports Center with Sweet Lou Palmer. That's gone. But it doesn't mean ESPN's dying. Come on. Everybody off the ledge. It's okay. All right, I'm going to take the last few seconds of this segment to talk about a guy who's going to call it a career tomorrow. Dave Muncy, who's been the weather guy at Channel 10 for years and years and years and years, is going to end his career tomorrow. Dave Muncy came to this market as a morning radio disc jockey at the old, well, it's still on the air, Cool FM. Cool FM's always been an oldie station. I'm going to say this. I've never met Dave Muncy. I have a feeling Dave Muncy probably doesn't know me from the man in the moon. And so I want to be, to Dave's many friends, and he has a lot of them, and for good reason, don't misinterpret what I'm about to say. When Dave was doing mornings at Cool FM, he was not the funniest guy on radio. He had the misfortune of being on the air at the same time Bill Haywood was at the height of his powers at KOI. But Dave did do one thing, and I've mentioned this on another radio station. Dave did one thing one morning that I still giggle about from time to time. He came out of a music set, said it's 7:43, Cool FM, I'm Dave Muncy. And then he took a long pause, and then he said, who are you? And I don't know why, but I almost drove off the road when I heard that. Dave has done a lot of good things in this community. He's been at the same place for 42 years. So even though I don't know you, Dave, and we've never met, congratulations. We're back with another great name in broadcasting, Al McCoy, next. We were mentioning in our last segment Dave Muncy, who calls it a career tomorrow, and he came to this market as a morning DJ at Cool Radio. It's a nice transition to now speak to the former 9 to noon disc jockey at 136 KRUX, Al McCoy, who has done some other things besides being on from 9 to noon at 1360 KRUX in Glendale. And the Hall of Fame broadcaster with the Phoenix Suns joins us. Long time no talk to, sir. How are you?
Hey, you bring back a lot of memories there, Jeff. Just playing the hits on Crux.
Yep. Did you ever do Morning Drive?
Well, I have throughout my career at various places. In fact, I did Morning Drive at Cool Radio here in Phoenix at one time.
For the AM
period.
Yeah.
So been there, done that, right?
Yep. Yeah,
but
we both.
I don't like getting up that early in the morning.
I don't think anybody does,
right,
to be honest about it. And I do it occasionally, and I notice it about 9 o'clock that I've been up since 3.
Right.
We're finally going to have the NBA Finals. It's like waiting for the Super Bowl, and they're finally going to get on with it. Tomorrow night in Oakland, game one between the Warriors and Cavs. Somebody said that the trivia note, this is the first time in a major sports league that the same two teams have met in the championship series 3 years in a row. But I don't think the public's tired of this. I think they're anxious to see round three between the Warriors and Cavs. Is that the sense you're getting?
Well, I think you're probably right, Jeff. I don't know why the NBA waited a week to start the finals. Hockey has already started, but anyway, they did. And, you know, I think maybe there's a little back thinking about maybe they're tired of seeing the two teams, but they are the two best teams in the NBA, and that's what you're looking for when you get to the NBA Finals. So I think basketball fans are looking forward to another matchup between Cleveland and Golden State. I do.
One thing that struck me about last year's series, and there were a lot of things that led to Cleveland coming back from 3-1 down, but one thing I noticed about the way they defended Golden State was they did a better job of double-teaming their shooters and taking away their pass options than anybody else had in the playoffs last year. Did you notice some things about what they did defensively last year that they might be able to do this year?
Well, I don't think there's any question about the fact that how they're able to defend the Warriors is the key. I got a kind of a kick out of in one of the last series, Van Gundy, one of the commentators on national TV, made this statement. He said, I think the league should have, for the referees, one set of rules for the regular season and then one set of rules for the playoffs, because that's actually the way it is. The playoffs, no matter how many times it's talked about, are officiated differently than games during the regular season. Now, I only mention that because that's going to be a big factor in this series. If Cleveland is decided to be a lot more physical defensively, if they're able to kind of bump and run and grab and hold to slow down these great shooters that the Warriors have, it certainly could give them the edge. I think that's going to be a big factor in how the game is called.
Yeah, I agree with you, and we're talking, of course, with the Hall of Famer Al McCoy. If it's allowed to be a physical series, yeah, you can slow down a team. It's real easy, and we've seen it over the years. If you grab somebody, it keeps them from running. At the same time, though, Golden State has always been very effective during this run in a half-court set. Even if they don't get the chance to run, they seem to have this ability against most teams, they didn't against Cleveland last year, of finding an open shooter even in a half-court set.
No question about it. And they have great shooters. And now they've added a guy named Kevin Durant since last year. Think about that for a while, who can score anytime he has the basketball. So Cleveland has their work cut out for them. Now, some people feel that the Cavaliers have come on in the playoffs this year, that they look a lot more aggressive, a lot more physical, better defensively. Those will all be the factors. But as my longtime friend, cohort, Cotton Fitzsimmons used to say, you can't have enough shooters.
Yep.
And the Warriors have those shooters, no question about it.
Cotton may have been the one coach, and I know you've experienced this over the years. Anytime you go and talk to a head coach in basketball, you can bring up offense and shooters. The biggest concern they have is about how well their team is defending. Cotton may have been the one guy who thought about offense first when talking about his team.
Well, I think you're probably right. And, of course, that was one of his great lines. He used to say, you can't have enough shooters. And as I said, that's what the Warriors have, and that's going to be their edge. They have tremendous ability to score the basketball from everybody that's on the floor. They're great three-point shooters and probably have the edge in that category. Now, we talk about Cleveland's defensive effort. You look back over the 82-game schedule, who was the top defensive team in the NBA? Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
So it's an ideal matchup, no question about it.
And one thing, just to add, and we'll transition into talking the draft for a minute, but the one thing, when you mentioned Durant, any playoff series, any basketball game is decided so much by rebounding. And Durant, obviously, for all of his talents, he's a great outside shooter, he can penetrate, he's quick. But if he's able to rebound effectively, that, I think, really gives Golden State an edge.
Well, I don't think there's any question. And we talk about shooting, defense, rebounding. Those are all the pluses that you need to win games in the NBA. These two teams, Cleveland and Golden State, have shown they can shine in all of those areas. And that's what should make a very, very great final playoff series in the NBA.
Suns are just starting their workouts with players they could be looking to take with the fourth pick. You get any sense from Sean McDonough's staff as to which way they're leaning in terms of the type of player they're looking for?
You know, Jeff, I don't have any idea. I'm not in the inner
circle.
Did I
say Sean?
I don't know who is, but they're in a good position. I think, obviously, most of us felt they might get a higher pick. I don't think maybe it makes that much difference, because I think there certainly are at least five players that could be number one picks, and the Suns have the number four selection. They have a number of ways that they can go, and I think that decision probably won't be made until draft day, depending on who the previous three players will be selected by Boston, the Lakers, and Philadelphia. The Suns have several ways they can go. They could draft using it as a trade. They can come in with one of the forwards that we're hearing a great deal about. So I think they have different approaches they can take to that number four selection. But again, I have a feeling it probably won't be decided until draft day, depending on who the first three players go are.
I said Sean McDonough. I knew I was going to do that. It's Ryan McDonough. I am a little smarter than that, but I just it happens from time to time. Yeah, it was close.
It's in the family, Jeff.
I was close. Right. You mentioned trades. Knowing the kind of success that Ryan McDonough has had in the later picks in the second round, I'm not saying that that necessarily would lead to them trading the fourth pick to get to pick up additional picks, but I guess it's something that would definitely be something they would think about, just given the fact they've been so good at getting really good players in the second round.
Well, the thing also, if you're thinking about trades, obviously, if there's something the Suns need, it's a good veteran all-star player. Now, if you could give up the number four pick for that type of player, and I don't know who that type of player might be right now, but if you could, it's something you'd have to consider, because obviously it's a young, talented team that the Suns have right now, and obviously they could use a veteran all-star performer at particularly one of the forward spots. So I'm sure those are things that are being considered, and I'm sure that the Suns are getting plenty of phone calls from teams that would like to have that number four pick. No question about that. Yeah. I think the Suns are in a great position, and this is a very, very important draft for the Suns. They showed in the late stages the competitiveness of their young players, which certainly was encouraging. Devin Booker with a 70-point game in Boston. A lot of positive things popped up, and this selection is a very important one for the Suns, and I'm sure they realize it.
Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns, with us for a few minutes on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Jeff Munn for Brad. You know, it always, when we get to this time of year where we're going into the finals and people are talking about the draft, it always reminds me, Al, of something that you've talked about over the years. People can say what they want about the NBA isn't doing this, the NBA isn't doing that, but you go to a game and you watch the best basketball players in the world, and I always love your line, you see a great play every 24 seconds. And I think
right.
The state of basketball in the NBA is a lot better, I think, than even the national media gives it credit for.
Well, the game's changed, and I think maybe purists are not happy about that, but the game has changed. The three-point shot, obviously, has been the biggest difference, because you have to be able to defend the three-point line, and you have to have players that can hit the three-point shot. And that's why in these playoff games that we've seen so far, so many fans have said, well, gee, I can't see. One night one team wins by 20, the next night another team wins by 20. It's three-point shooting. If you've got three-point shooters and they're knocking them down, you're going to come back no matter if you're down by 25 points. And that's one of the biggest changes in the game, the three-point shot. And then positions don't seem to be that important. You have to be able to defend various positions. The inside game, the big man game, has been taken away by that three-point shot. So it's a different game, but it's just as exciting. And that's what makes it fun.
It is. It is absolutely exciting. And it's I include coaching in that, the teaching that's going on. There's a lot more going on than people realize. Hey, enjoy the finals. It's great to catch up with you. I'm sorry we're having to do it on a radio show. I know we need to go do lunch here one of these days, and I'll be in touch, and we'll go get it done. But it's good to hear from you, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, always great to visit with you, Jeff. Thanks so much.
You bet. Al McCoy, the legendary Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns. And it's just always a treat to talk basketball with him because he is the knowledge that he has over all these years, and you hear it in his voice. He's just as excited about basketball games in the NBA now as he's ever been when he took the job in 1972. What a fun show today. I hope you've enjoyed our visits with Al McCoy and Pedro Gomez. Brad's out tomorrow. Greg Esposito, who obviously has a great deal of knowledge about the Suns and the NBA, will be in this chair tomorrow. Stick with Sports360AZ.com for the latest on all things local. AZCentralSports.com keeps you updated. Great way to stay on top of the breaking news in the sports world. This is the Brad Sesmatch Show, Sports360AZ.com, AZCentralSports.com. Thanks for being with us.